The best selection and convenience is always in the cards when you do your shopping on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob is the Podcast when you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robisawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robisawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Happy St. Patrick's Day. Here we are on an exit interview podcast after episode number 5 of Survivor Co Wrong, and we're going to be speaking with Anna Kate here on the exit interview podcast, who was my winner pick here in Survivor 32. And once again, my winner pick has not won the game. I think she had a good shot, and I might have actually just put the jinx on her by making her my winner pick back in February when we did our cast preview. But all right, well, I can only take so much blame for this one, and we will talk with Anna here on the exit interview podcast. Last night, Stephen Fishback and I did our Survivor Know-It-Alls, and I'm not being hyperbolic when I say I think that that was one of the strongest know-it-alls that we've done. Stephen Fishback, I think, is especially locked in and really, really fun know-it-alls last night. If you haven't checked that out, I think that was a really good discussion of everything going on with the swap. Then busy day today for me, talking about everything from the swap and episode number 5, and I guess the entire season, because I'm going to be bringing in Sophie Clark. Pete and Abby Maria were scheduled to be with us this week. Pete had a family emergency. We're going to talk with them later on the season. Sophie, what a true friend, great friend of the show. She comes in on short notice, and she's going to do the recap with me this week. And then we will get voicemails with Angie Kant. So make sure you get your voicemails in for that show later on today. But I see that we have Anna on the line. Let's go ahead and patch her in. Anna, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Anna, good morning.
Rob, good morning, honey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm a little bummed out, Anna. I thought you had this.
I know. And I know you picked me as a winner pick. I'm so sorry to disappoint you.
Well, thank you for considering my feelings and all this. I appreciate it. And let's talk about all of this, because I did think it was a really exciting show last night. So looking back at all this, Stephen and I were talking it through last night. We were really trying to talk about if there's anything that you could have done differently. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like looking back in hindsight, I know you must do this in poker a lot, thinking back at how you played the hand. Do you feel like there's anything that majorly you could have done differently?
I mean, I remember thinking out there even, the one thing that I could have done, okay, so I knew that Peter was on the bottom of the Brains tribe, and I knew that that was a great opportunity for me to come after him, and I did, in terms of trying to convince Aubrey and Joe to come out, you know, to get rid of him, because the first thing that Peter told me was, okay, Anna, Joe does not strategize, don't worry about it, don't talk to him. I said, okay. Joe, the first thing Joe tells me is, oh, Peter's on the bottom. He told me the whole thing that happened with Liz. And I'm like, wow, this is great. I can totally ride with this. This is before the immunity challenge. And I said, this is awesome. So I have like Peter come after, I can come after Ty too, and set, you know, try to set Ty up and make them feel like he probably has an idol, and, you know, tell them about the story with him. And with Peter, he seemed so pompous and he seemed so set, and everyone was telling me that he was gunning for me. So Mike got told me that Peter was next after me. I really thought that they were going to come after him once they didn't need him anymore. And then he was probably next. And so I thought that, and I thought, okay, well, I can tell him that and use him and have him switch. And, the thing I was afraid of was him saying, oh, guess what Anna told me, you know, we could really get rid of her. And then, cause he was already saying that I was scheming. So I didn't want to seem like I was scheming even more. And I thought he can completely go and backstab me and tell Aubrey and Joe that I'm definitely out. I thought maybe, you know, try to come after him. Well, it was really Joe pushing in, and I was on the bandwagon, and I, you know, kept talking about it. Their body language that Joe and Aubrey were giving off to me were not of, we're going to vote out Peter. Cause I knew that Peter voted for Aubrey. I knew that I thought that if Aubrey was going to have a chance to get rid of Peter and blindside him, she would have much happier, excited body language. It was very dull. It was very plain. And I knew for a fact they were not going to come after Peter. And I knew for a fact that they were, because they were not going to come after Peter, that they were smart enough to realize his Brains tribe that you don't want to lose the numbers. So I thought, okay, my best bet is to come after Ty and, you know, setting him up already since he's out of the island. So I think that, you know, Ty's likable and he was a provider around camp and, you know, but he was injured and I was trying to show them that you can't trust him. He probably has an idol. I mean, what I'm looking for it and this and that, and try to set him up as best I could. And, you know, obviously he, you know, told me he had an idol about half an hour before we came out. So
right.
So there was a good chance.
So you were well on your way to throwing Ty under the bus, and you were telling everybody about how you can't trust him and how he might have the idol and he was always looking for it. But then at the point that he showed you the idol, did you change the way that you were looking at him and really put the brakes on trying to make him look bad to everybody else? And then ultimately, Scott, it seemed like, talked him into, hey, what are you doing here? How much did that change things for you when he showed you the idol?
Sure. So Ty and I had a pretty good relationship back in the beauty camp. I liked Caleb a lot, and I liked Ty. I didn't trust Nick. Even though I trusted Ty to a certain extent, I knew he was playing the game, and I knew he was smart, and I knew I couldn't really trust him, obviously, because my gut feeling told me he can cut me in any second. He's very manipulative and in certain ways, but very sweet also and very likable. I knew he was a big threat in the game, and I kept my friends close and my enemies closer. So I was pretty close with Ty. I was pretty certain also in the beauty camp that he found the idol. I was telling the girls, I'm like, I am pretty sure he has it. Something's telling me he has it. I know he has it. They didn't really believe it, but, once he showed it to me, you know, right before tribal, I thought, oh, I knew you had it. You had so many opportunities to tell me. Now I know you're a liar. Now I know I definitely can't trust you, even though I already didn't. So I thought, I told the camera, I'm like, when I come back, he's out. I'm gonna gun for him so hard. You do not do that. You have so many opportunities to tell me, and I do not trust you. So when he showed it to me, I appreciate it, and I was hoping he was going to use it and save me, but I did not trust him at all anymore. I mean, my reads on him were affirmed when he showed me that idol. And then also, I mean, I would use him as long as I could and use him as a number, but like I said, I would not have trusted him. I just would have, you know, used him along the way. With Scott, I think that Scott definitely woke up Ty in the fact that it was a little early to use it. Mm-hmm. Totally understand that point of view, obviously. And, you know, he told Ty, listen, you know, it's too early. Just keep it to yourself for now, which is totally true. It's definitely early to use it. At the same time, you know, Julie's coming in. So it's like an extra twist of Jules is coming in and you can have the numbers, but still it's a tough spot for Ty. And, you know, it would have been cool to see him use it and be able to stay in the game and have Julie come in and like get rid of the brain and get together with Michelle and Nick and some other players and, you know, try to go farther, but understood Scott. And it sucks that, you know, Scott told Ty that.
Well, you were in a really tough spot last night because you really have two options in that tribal council of one that you could really put all your eggs in Ty's basket and hope that he's going to play the idol on you, like he said, or you could go completely the other way and out Ty as being the person who he has the idol and maybe change up what they're going to do in that way. Did you consider outing Ty, maybe not at tribal council in front of him, because that probably, that maybe forces him to play it or at least forces the votes onto you, so maybe not as desirable. But did you consider ever really going to Aubrey and saying, hey, look, Ty just told me he has the idol. Why don't we blindside him?
Well, Ty told me about half an hour before we went out, maybe like 45 minutes before we went out. I was really certain that it was me. Before even he showed it to me, I was like, okay, I'm going home. You know, I was still fighting and still trying to talk, but I mean, my gut, I just knew that it was me. Like, just, it was just obvious to me. But with Ty, I thought, wow, this is an awesome opportunity. And Anna, we're going to use it tonight. Like, I wasn't going to use it. He's like, I'm pretty certain it's you. And I think it's great to keep the numbers. And he's like, let's do it. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And I could have went to Aubrey, but you know, I spoke to Scott a bunch and Ty, and I thought, wow, we're really going to actually do this. And I think that Ty in that moment did mean it. And that's why I trusted him. I think, you know, last minute, Scott pulled him aside before tribal and he just changed his mind because he was thinking of actually using it. And, it was pretty obvious it was gonna be me. I mean, who knows? I mean, I think that it would have been great if I would have came to Aubrey and said Ty and an idol, but they were so dead set on getting me out that they might have thought I was lying or not. Like, they could have just, you know, I don't know. I thought that Ty was probably going to use it. So why would I mess that up for myself?
Did any part of you want to then expose him after he didn't use it on you and you got voted out? People were asking us that question last night.
Yeah, it definitely crossed my mind. You know, you only have a few seconds while you're getting up and getting the torch. And that was running through my mind. That was the first thing I was shocked, but I was running through my mind like, okay, should I say it? But honestly, if it wasn't for the fact that Julia was going to take my place and, you know, Julia is going to be outnumbered again and she's going to need Kai, if it wasn't for Julia coming in, I would have probably said it. I was ready to say it, but I kept thinking, she's my girl. She's coming back in. I'm already out. It's kind of low to do that. And I don't want to mess up her game. She's going to be out of numbers and you know, she needs him and let him work together. I want the best for her. I want her to make it to the end. I want Michelle to make it to the end. So if it wasn't for Julia coming back, I probably would have said it. And I kind of wish it wasn't that situation because I would have said it. It would have been cool. I'd be like, all right, guys, by the way, Ty is my idol. Mm-hmm. See ya. Good luck. And I'm definitely up for doing that kind of thing. But just like I said, it was just Julia coming in. I was out and I wanted the best for her and her, you know, for her to come back in.
It seemed like you had a good relationship with Aubrey last night. It seemed like that she was the one person in that brains group that was lobbying to say, hey, maybe we should go with Anna and vote Ty out, where it seems like the other two men seem like, no, it needs to be Anna. She's the person that we need to watch out for. What was your relationship in terms of the game like with Aubrey?
Yeah, I mean, Aubrey kept telling me Peter was gunning for me, which is another reason why I didn't come to Peter and try to have any strategy with him, because I knew he would tell them. Aubrey, we had a pretty authentic relationship. I mean, I like the girl out there, and I even said it out there. I was like, this girl is very smart and she's playing the game, and I liked her. And I told her about the possible idea of having the girls come together post-merge, and I wanted her to have that in her mind in case she wanted to keep me along and have that as an option for her. It's always great to have options in the game, especially when things can get switched up so fast. So we had a good relationship. She kept assuring me, but I, like I said, saw Peter talk to Ty. I saw the brains talk, and I just kept getting reads that Peter was gunning for me. And you know, she affirmed that. And so I had a good relationship with her. I did trust her. Not completely, obviously, but I think that was my one thing where I left the game and I thought, oh, I don't know, I'm supposed to trust anyone in the game. And I came in not trusting a soul and not expecting to trust anyone. I mean, I really trust Jules and Michelle, and I didn't trust anyone else until I met Aubrey, and I thought, okay, there's potential here. And I liked her. I think liking her made me trust her a little more. And, you know, she was even nodding in tribal council with her thumbs up, like, oh, you're good. Don't worry. You're not going home. So I was really upset when that happened, and she, you know, was giving me a thumbs up at tribal. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I'm out. Just leave it alone. So I was a little bit upset at her. So it's kind of, I was just a little bit upset, but we're good now, though. She's awesome. Okay. And, you know, she's playing the game, and I commend that. And, you know, kudos to her for having me trust her for a little bit and hope she would help me out. And, you know, good for her.
Only a couple of minutes left, so let me just get into a couple of quick things. Did you feel like Scott was really playing everybody against each other last night in the tribe?
From my perspective, I saw him talking to a few people, and I knew he was playing. I knew he was in a good spot to be a swing vote. He was a great spot to be a swing vote. There's one of him. He's not going to go out. He's strong. His name was not even mentioned. I mean, it was clear it wasn't going to. He was in a great spot to be a swing vote and decide what he wanted to do. And his, you know, it's for him to decide what his best game plan is. He can just go with the brains, or he can, you know, go with me and Ty and switch up the game and do something cool and maybe, you know, get allegiance from with me and Ty, you know, with Jason and think post-merge and stuff. He was playing the game. I liked him the first, you know, I was only there for like 24 hours. Like, I remember like 1 minute you're in like the top of the tribe and the beauty tribe. And then 24 hours later, the swap and you're out and you're on the bottom. And, I remember my first instinct, my first impressions of him, you know, being in the Braun tribe and seeing from the outside how they were treating Alicia, really didn't like him, but coming out there, I did like him. And I thought that he was playing the game, and he tried to make an alliance with me, and I knew he was playing the game, and I said what I had to say, and I was nice to him, and, you know, try to have his back as much as I could. If he had my back, I would have had his until I needed to. I'm pretty loyal, so, yeah.
Back at the Beauty Tribe, was Nick going to be the first person that you guys voted out, and if so, why?
Yes. Good question. Okay, so the girls didn't really trust Ty, especially because they call him an idol and all that kind of stuff. They didn't trust him. They liked Nick. There's some like Nick that, you know, uses his charm with them and whatnot. It took him a little, you know, some time to realize that he really wasn't, you know, he was playing the game. I mean, I saw pretty quickly, I didn't like him. He rubbed me the wrong way out there. he would smile at everyone with the same way. He would flirt with Ty, and I thought, oh my God, he's playing the game. And I think he quickly found out that I was bringing the girls together, and that we had something solid, and that we were going to get Caleb. And you know, Nick kind of figured out that I was kind of in control there in terms of like having, you know, making decisions and figuring out who we're going to work with and stuff. And so he was gunning for me. So he started, you know, spreading rumors about me to try to get me out. I mean, this was even after we won immunity, he was just coming after me. And it was obvious, you know, that he was playing the game because he understood the fact that you got to come out, you know, you got to come after who's really like, you know, kind of, pushing the girls in a certain direction. So the girls wanted Ty and I wanted Nick, and I think I convinced them pretty well that, if we were going to go to immunity challenge, if we were going to lose immunity, we would have got rid of Nick. It was pretty certain, because before we got to, you know, the challenge, we were like, okay, we're getting rid of him if nothing, you know, happens. Cause we said Nick first, then Ty. And, you know, I thought I trusted Ty more than Nick, and the girls were at that point iffy about Nick too, because he was spreading things about me. So we were trying to decide, but I was coming after Nick. He was going to be out, because you don't want someone spreading rumors about you. You just need to get him out.
I hate
it was important
that.
For us. So yeah, it would have been Nick.
And I know you got to run, but I have so much more to talk through with you. I know this was a bad beat out there. You thought you had three queens going into this swap, and ultimately it did not work out, but keep hope alive. Kelly Wentworth came back into the game from this exact same spot, and she had a pretty good run. So I think that maybe I just had the season wrong. Maybe one day I get this right. All right.
Maybe.
Anna, well, best of luck to you, and
look forward
to hearing from you in the future. Okay.
Rob, thank you for having me on your podcast.
All right. Take care.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Anna Kate here on the podcast, and really do think that she had a shot. She had a shot. It was a good pick. Seems like a lot of people had her as a winner pick, and a lot of guys seemingly had her as a winner pick. I don't know what that means, but a lot of people had her, and a lot of people are out of their survivor pools after Anna ends up going out last night. All right, everybody, let's get into our favorite segment of the week, talking with the man who has gone back and researched all things Survivor, has gone through the calendar month after month after month to determine what happened here as we are approaching the third week of March here. What happened on This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish?
Hey, Rob, how's it going?
Going very good, Jordan. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I mean, I, like you, lost my my winner pick tonight, but it's still a great season. Anna would have been fun
still
to watch going
night.
Forward, but you know, we didn't lose Ty, so it's okay.
It's okay. All right. So Jordan is back to tell us about what went on here this third week in March in Survivor History, and we will talk all of that through with him in just a moment. But let me thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at Texture. Texture is the smartest way to do magazine subscriptions. If you're especially on, you'll feel like you're on the Brains Tribe when you are doing magazine subscriptions through Texture, because for less than $10 a month, you could get a package on Texture, which offers unlimited access to all of your favorite magazines for less than the price of three magazines at the grocery store, Jordan.
That sounds great. You know, with March Madness coming up, I'll be able to read up on all the bracketology, read up on the NFL free agency. It sounds great.
Right. And you're not wasting all this paper of getting all these magazines, because you're reading them all as they look on the magazine on your smartphone or tablet or whatever device you use to already read the news.
Nope, and that's something that Ty would love also, that you're not killing the trees.
Yes, well, you'd appreciate that. You could browse hundreds of magazines and cherry pick the articles that interest you. I'm looking at my Texture right now. I see I could read about Kelly Cuoco in Cosmo right now. I could also read about March Madness in Sports Illustrated. All sorts of other things get pulled specifically for me. Anything that I want to read, I can see on my Texture. It's super easy to use. Just click headlines on the top page and Texture takes you right to the articles you want. The best part is that Texture is offering a free trial for the listeners of Rob's podcast when you go to texture.com/RHAP. Think about it. Unrestricted access to the world's best magazines from back issues to the ones on newsstands today. Take advantage of this right now. And anything you want to read up on, Brains, Beauty, Brawn, you name it, your favorite magazines, get some serious magazine know-how. Go to texture.com/RHAP. That's try Texture for free right now at texture.com/RHAP. It's a really great idea. All right, Jordan, let's talk about this week in Survivor history.
All right. So in the many years that we've been doing this now, there are very few seasons that we haven't spoken about.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these seasons is actually one of the more historic seasons in Survivor history. And the reason that we have never talked about Survivor Borneo is that there's been sort of an issue where Survivor Borneo was a summer season. We only do these shows during the Survivor season. So
that's true.
I came up with a solution, though.
Jordan is going to be back with us when? In the first week of May?
Yeah, I'm going to come to you in May. May 31st is when the first episode of that season aired. No, what we are going to do, we are going to look at the filming dates of Survivor Borneo. So we are bringing you not to the airing of the show, but we're actually going to take you to Borneo, and we're going to talk about what happened literally this week in Survivor history, not on the show, but on the island.
Okay, 16 years ago?
Yeah, we're going 16 years ago this week, Rob.
Okay, back in Y2K.
Yeah, Y2K, March of 2000, when this season was filming, I was 9. So I was a very, very young lad back then. We're taking you to the first 3 days of Survivor Borneo. This is March 13th to March 15th, 2000.
So what happened?
You have two tribes, Tagi and Pagang, who will go down in history for very different reasons. And
yes,
they take very different approaches to start their Survivor careers.
At that point in time, nobody knew what was going on, and it was just like one big science experiment.
Yeah, it was a big social experiment. I think, you know, watching the game, you're not really sure as a viewer how it's going to work. I mean, they don't really explain the voting until later in the episode when Jeff Probst comes out and says what tribal council is once the Tagi tribe loses. But we're going to really focus on Tagi here. They're the tribe that loses immunity. So we really see a lot of them in this episode. And some really iconic things happen. The first, you know, real, you know, to me, real big moment, and it's especially big that since Richard Hatch was the one who won the game, you have the rest of the tribe standing in a circle, sort of talking over each other, trying to plan out what they wanted to do to get their camp running. And Richard Hatch is just in a tree watching them and thinking. And then finally he comes out and says, we need to develop a plan before we start moving. We need to make a plan.
Well, that scene of him up in the tree is really just, you know, such an iconic moment in the show's history. And I know it's the first episode, but it's also like, you know, there's lots of shows where the first episode is not iconic or great, and it really takes time to find itself. But while the first episode in the first season, there are plenty of things that are wonky, you sort of, in that moment, get a really encapsulated version of what this show is going to be all about.
Yeah, it really makes up for the conch shell and the ancient voices playing in the middle of the episode for some reason. But you have Richard Hatch, who will go on to win the season, in the tree, saying that he has the $1 million check already written. And even though he's cocky, and even though that people might hate his guts, he is somehow going to win this game. So he really calls a shot. He's like Babe Ruth up there.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite moments in this episode is a conversation that he has with Sue, where Sue is saying that his corporate world strategies,
you know, this
aren't
ain't corporate
work.
America out here in the bush, okay?
Exactly. And you know, that's when Rich starts to say how he's, you know, he's good to go survival wise, but he's going to have maybe some issues with these people who are very different than he is.
Very different than he is, and ultimately, it's going to be Sonya. And I actually felt like the scene tonight where we saw Peter ending up with working on Joe and sort of like being the doctor, like patching people up, I thought that was very similar to that scene in the first episode where Dr. Sean is trying to patch up Sonya.
Yeah, he has gauze somehow, and he's, you know, he's putting the gauze on her and it's getting all bloody, and he has to reuse the same one. So he had a little bit more equipment, I guess, than Peter had to work with. Even though Peter had, a scalpel or something tonight? I don't know how he got that, but
Dr. Joe had a busy week last week.
Yeah. So yeah, Dr. Sean didn't have nearly as much to work with, or a whole crew of Survivor production to work with, like Dr. Joe did. But Dr. Sean, you know, he's taking good care of Sonia. She just wants to, you know, sit around, play the ukulele, play Bye Bye Blues, the song about Prozac.
Yep.
So very, very interesting stuff happening in this episode. And the other really big character, I would say that the two contestants that were really featured in this first episode on the Tagi tribe were Rich and Rudy. And this, of course, would become a long lasting alliance that would, you know, that would go until day 38. Rudy has a quote here too that really it's sort of amazing. In this first episode, he really sums up how the social game of Survivor is meant to be played. I mean, that you have to fit in with your tribe. And he says that, you know, it's hard to hang around with these young kids, and he doesn't even know what MTV is. But there's more of them than there is of him, and he has to fit in. And there's a lot of people in Survivor history who could have probably learned from Rudy, who figured this out on day one.
And much like his buddy Joe, I saw a picture that Joe posted recently of him and Rudy hanging out.
Yeah, I saw that too on Facebook. They seem to be very good friends. Like they have, you know,
who
like
knew?
The Marines buddies who come down and watch, you know, the Survivor
finally, episodes. I found the guy who is exactly like me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jordan, what else?
All right. So this is, you know, just like we said before, Sonia was the one who gets voted out. It's actually a 4-3-1 vote. Rich is actually the one who kind of goes rogue on this vote. He votes for Stacy, which, you know, was a vote that didn't really matter. Jeff, and what really struck me about this episode, too, is how there are so many things that are different. But at the end, you know, Sonia stands up, gets her torch. Jeff says the tribe has spoken, and I really miss that old music that they used to play after someone got voted out. It's really emotional, and you know, it gives me chills every time to watch the end of this episode.
It all happened in the first episode of what we still call today Survivor.
Yes, and I'm sure we'll be checking in on Borneo a few times during the season in Survivor history. But we're going to actually move on now to another very old season, Survivor Marquesas. This is March 13th, 2002. We actually spoke about this episode a year ago, and this is the episode where John Carroll got stung by a stingray and Kathy Vavrick O'Brien had to pee on his hand. But we are going to now talk about the Mara Amu tribe. This is a very interesting and very important episode in Survivor history where Hunter Ellis is the one who gets voted out.
I remember vividly where I was that night watching the episode, and it was really just one of the episodes I just watched. Like, what? What did they just do? Those knuckleheads?
Yeah, Hunter was blindsided, but the audience, I think, was just as blindsided. When I've rewatched this episode a couple times, and except for some very, very discreet clues, you really don't see it coming. Hunter is the, you know, he's the one of these classic alpha males who is on the tribe. He wants everyone to work. He wants to be in charge, but he is on a tribe of people that aren't necessarily the hardest workers in the world.
It's really the first time I feel like that they vote out a person, you know, and not like because they're a threat at the merge. Like in the pre-merge game, I think might be the first time that you vote out a person. It's like, what? Why would they do that? He was their best guy.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
He was their leader.
I
mean, maybe Joel and Borneo.
Joel and Borneo, but Joel wasn't really
the leader. Gretchen was their leader.
I was like, yeah, exactly. I think Gretchen was more of the leader on the Pagong tribe. And the only other thing that might be a little bit similar is Silas, but that's after the first tribe swap and you're
Silas
getting rid
was
of
not
somebody.
Their leader. Yeah.
He wasn't the leader, but he was that alpha male type who thought he was the leader. And he, you know, that was after a twist, and it was a very different vote. This is pre-swap. This is just Boston Rob. You know, he didn't actually have any big arguments with Hunter, but in his confessionals, he would talk about how he didn't love his leadership style. Sean was the one who really clashed with him. There was four of them, and there were, you know, Gina and Hunter were on the outs when it came to the philosophy of the tribe, and that's part of the reason that Hunter gets voted out. But, you know, I really want to go back to that quote that I was talking about from Rudy saying that there's, you know, there's one of me and a bunch of them and you have to fit in. You know, if Hunter had taken the same philosophy on his season, he may have not been voted out, and maybe someone like Sarah Jones, or maybe they would have chosen Gina to go instead of Hunter. So he makes a classic Survivor mistake where he's probably right. I mean, they probably should be doing more around camp. I mean, the other tribe was kicking their butt. This was the third episode in a row where they lost an immunity challenge. They didn't have any fire. They couldn't, they were eating, you know, disgusting raw fish that Sean said he'd rather eat a bowl of doo-doo. So he was probably from a survival standpoint, right. But in the game of Survivor, you know, it's a democracy. If you get the most votes, you are going to get voted out. And one of my favorite quotes in Survivor history, and this actually comes from Boston Rob, is in this episode. He's talking about how people, you know, how Hunter wants people to do what he tells them to do. And how what Rob wants is that he wants people to do what he's telling them to do, with but without realizing that he's telling them to do it. And this kind of reminds me of the podcast he was on with you when he was talking about, mm-hmm. you know, his philosophies on Survivor. So this is, that's really what that podcast reminded me of. But then he's talking about fear and how fear keeps people loyal, and it's how it's straight out of The Godfather. And Rob wants to be the one who's calling the shots on his tribe. So that's why Hunter was so dangerous to his game.
Last thing, do you think that the book has closed on Hunter to return?
I think it's closed. I mean, I would have said the same thing about Kimmy Kappenberg, but yeah, I really don't hear. I've never heard any buzz about Hunter being brought back. I mean, I'd be interested in seeing it. He had a very memorable 3-episode run, and this is, you know, 14 years ago, and the super fans are still talking about him.
He's probably 50 right now.
Yeah, he'd be like a savage coming back.
I don't know.
Which, yeah, so I mean, I there's people that I'd rather see than Hunter come back, but I wouldn't be opposed to it. It would be interesting, and it's fun to get people from like the pre-All-Star seasons.
All right, Jordan Kalish, you can follow him on Twitter. He's at Jordan Kalish. All the best, buddy.
You too. Have a nice day.
All right, take care.
Bye. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Jordan Kalish this week in Survivor history. So that's going to do it for us here today. We have our voicemail show coming up later on today, in addition to my interview with Sophie. Get your voicemails in. Go to robisawebsite.com/voicemail or dial it in 323-282-RHAP. That's 323-282-7427. So you can just go ahead and write down the numbers. You don't have to look at the phone or anything like that. But I always say that the audio quality is better when you just use your computer or your smartphone and go to robswebsite.com/voicemail. So a lot to do here today on a very big Survivor Thursday. Tomorrow, I'm going to segue into getting into the week in Big Brother Canada 4. I believe that Jordan Parhar is scheduled to be live after the eviction tonight. If you are joining us, say, listening to this on Thursday, follow Jordan on Twitter for all the details on that, at Jordan Parhar. So a lot of stuff going on here on RHAP. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robisawebsite.com/iTunes or get the Rob Has a Podcast app. Get everything from Rob Has a Website, post show recaps, reality TV, Rehap Ops, all in one place. Go to robisawebsite.com/app for iOS and Android. We'll be back real soon with Sophie Clark talking about all of this stuff from Survivor Go Wrong. Looking forward to it. Talk to you again soon. Bye.